Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful, sunny Lord's Day. And I guess the biggest announcement that I need to make is that we have back on the organ bench Miss Janice Carter. And she is all ready to get the rest of us back in trouble. We will have, on Easter Sunday morning, there will be a sunrise service at Port Gibson Baptist Church. They'll have it in the little in the lawn between them and the Episcopal Church. So if you can pry your eyelids open at 7 a.m., daylight time, you can come. And I have been voluntold to sing The Holy City. So you will get to enjoy a tenor trying to hit those notes at 7 a.m., which feels like 6 a.m. Now, we will have lilies placed in the sanctuary on Easter Sunday. So if you would like to have your name listed in the bulletin, we're only going to get a dozen, but we'll list whoever's names wants to be listed. So talk to Mrs. Zelia. She's keeping the list. And we will get that out on Easter Sunday, April the 4th. We're also going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper on Easter Sunday, April the 4th. So should be a wonderful day of celebration. We will have Bible study this week. Just be live streaming, though. Won't be in the annex. We'll be live streaming on the church Facebook page Wednesday at 7 p.m. So hope everybody can tune in. Let's now be called to worship with these words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Let's worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, so many different things clamor for our attention and our devotion all during the week. We are distracted in so many ways, sometimes by good and necessary things, and sometimes by things we're ashamed to admit. But today, help us to put everything else aside and turn to you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might worship you with all we are and all we have, in spirit and in truth. For we come in the name of the one who offered the perfect sacrifice so that all who trust in him might enter your presence, the one who rules and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, forever, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnals. Our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 640. Now, this can also be found in your online order of service. It comes from Romans chapter 5, the first and last parts of the chapter. I'll read the light-faced print and invite the congregation to respond with the bold. Let's read selection 640 responsively. Paul writes, Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. While we were yet helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Then, as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. What a wonderful gift God has given us. Let us praise him for our redemption. We'll turn in our hymnals to selection 96, this wonderful hymn from Fanny Crosby. We'll sing all three stanzas of Praise Him, Praise Him, and let us stand to sing.
Come, O Lord.
We have sung the praise of our Lord Jesus. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found in your online order of service or inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. And since the COVID stuff, we're not asking the little children to come forward today, but I do have a minute for mission that is about children that I would like to share with you all. Many of you remember that Mike and Lori Sally, who are based here in Claiborne County, have helped organize a mission in Uganda, and it's called Show Mercy International. And I'm telling you, I just get tired thinking about all that they do. They're amazing. And you may be involved in that ministry. You may be helping to sponsor children with their basic needs and their educational needs. Well, this week, they've started a new program, and I wanted to share with you what is going on in Uganda with Show Mercy International. They write, "We have so many incredible children in our sponsorship program that we are continuing to help through this crazy roller coaster ride of COVID. But it is heartbreaking to drive through the village these past months and see the longing in some of the other children's eyes, wishing they were picked too, wishing their cries for help were heard. It's paralyzing at times knowing we cannot help everyone, but we are breaking off that feeling and stepping out to do something. We are starting somewhere. We gathered 29 kids today," this was sent on March 16, "so they could have a hot meal, play games, and laugh like children should. Seven of the 29 kids were new. They were a bit shy at first, but we know as they join with us every week, they will make new friends and feel right at home. As the sponsored children return to school, hopefully all will be back full-time in June, we will fill their spots with new children from the village. But first, we need your help. No child should have to endure hunger. Would you consider helping? Join us as we say no to hunger every week by donating towards a hot meal. As we gather monthly partners, we will begin to expand our reach. Our goal is to feed 100 new children each week. So if you'd like to help, you can send your donations to Show Mercy International, Box 1003 in Port Gibson, or you can go to showmercy.org online. And it's just a lot of wonderful things going on. Even though it's a long way away, we can still be helping children get something to eat. So acknowledging the fact that we are connected to Christian ministries and Christians all over the world, let's take our hymnals in hand as we prepare our hearts for prayer. We're going to turn to selection 207. Now, I know we usually sing just one stanza of this whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper, but today we're going to sing all four stanzas as we remember the ties that bind us to one another across space and time in the body of Christ. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 207, and you can also find the words in your online order of service. Let us stand to sing. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Blessed be the tie that binds. We can pray as individuals wherever we are. We can go into the Lord's presence. You don't have to come into a room like this. You don't have to sit down with others to pray. But the good news is that when we come together as a family of faith, we are gathering around one throne of God. We're gathering around one common mercy seat, and our prayers are magnified as we share our woes and our burdens, as we lift up our joys together. So as forgiven children of God, as the family of faith, let us go before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our God, we give you thanks and praise that you have brought us together as the people of God. Thank you, Lord, as this COVID crisis begins to ease, that more are feeling comfortable coming back to worship. Thank you that we can gather physically and express visually the unity of the bond and faith that we share. Lord, we thank you for electronic tools that allow us to gather virtually and to share experience and life together, even if we can't be together physically. We thank you, Lord, for the ties that bind us as a congregation with the 50 other congregations in the Presbytery of the Gulf South. We thank you, Lord, for churches stretching all the way from the Rio Grande Valley to Mobile Bay, and for the ministry that we share, and for the accountability that we share, and for the fellowship that we share. Lord, we thank you for our partners in ministry, whether they're part of our denomination or not. We thank you for our partners in Northeast Brazil as they seek to plant churches, as they seek to spread the gospel in two presbyteries there. We thank you for the seminary students we're helping to support, raising up a new generation of leaders. Thank you, Lord, for our missionaries as they seek to spread the gospel to those who have heard, some of whom are hearing it for the first time. Lord, we thank you for our church planters, and we pray that you would encourage them as they seek to spread the gospel in new towns where there are not EPC churches yet. Thank you, Lord, for all of these ties that bind us. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to continue to reach out, not just out of ourselves as individuals, not just out of ourselves as a congregation, but to reach out worldwide to acknowledge that you have bought us with your blood and you have made of us one people of God. And so help us, Lord. Open our eyes and our ears as we open your word together. Help us to see that you have made us your own and to show that we are indeed forgiven, welcomed, loved because of the work of Jesus Christ. For we offer this prayer in his name and for his sake. Amen. We continue our study of Matthew's gospel, looking today at the end of chapter 10. And we find that Jesus has a lot to say about how people break themselves down into different groups. And I think we're going to find that there's one distinction that is of highest importance. Matthew chapter 10, the verses 32 through 42. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father,
and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That is God's word. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. So what are your true colors? What are your true colors? Do you wear red and blue and shout hotty totty for Ole Miss?
Yes.
Or do you prefer maroon and white, ringing a cowbell for Mississippi State? I know there's some State fans out here. And that question is not just important during football season, is it? Both schools' baseball teams are currently ranked in the top five nationally, so the rivalry goes on all year long, sparking friendly jibes and sometimes, well, more heated discussion. But of course, those are not the only true colors we see among Mississippians. Southern Miss alumni wear black and gold to support their Golden Eagles. Delta State fans wear green and white as they cheer for the only edible vegetable mascot I know of, the Fighting Okra. And then, of course, we have our SWAC fans. They either wear the blue and white of Jackson State or the purple and gold of Alcorn State. And with Coach Prime Time bringing a lot of attention to the Tigers, the Braves may have a little more difficulty dominating the Eastern Division this fall. Of course, both Alcornites and Jacksonians agree that Valley does not really belong in any serious football discussion, although Delta Devils alumni such as Jerry Rice would strenuously object. Of course, when we think about the SEC and the SWAC, another sort of color distinction among Mississippians comes to mind, the question of race. Nationwide, this issue has become increasingly emotionally charged. As we see crowds from Portland, Oregon to Louisville, Kentucky continuing to protest the death of Breonna Taylor, sometimes protesting with shocking and destructive violence. And who can forget the riots of last summer that trashed much of downtown Minneapolis as angry crowds reacted to the death of George Floyd? Yes, sometimes it seems that race, that kind of color, is the only thing many politicians want to talk about these days, even as leaders from Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell to Kamala Harris and Barack Obama illustrate just how far America has gone to remove the legal structural barriers that long prevented racial minorities from succeeding. But, unfortunately, as our Hands of Hope volunteers working in West Virginia know all too well, generational poverty is not limited to any one ethnic group. No, it's more likely that yet another distinction plays a much more important role in holding modern American children back from reaching their full potential, and that is their family structure. Children who grow up in homes with a mother and a father are just more emotionally healthy. They do better in school. They avoid drug use and delinquency. The statistics cannot be denied. Where it comes to lifelong success, the haves and the have-nots are increasingly defined not by gender, not by race, not by class, but by their parents' marital status. Of course, our younger generation is quick to point out that none of these distinctions are hard and fast, that it is not fair to judge anyone based on what group he or she belongs to. And we know that too.
After all, lots of cadets came to Chamberlain Hunt from broken homes, but many of them took the opportunity for a fresh start to achieve athletic and academic excellence, setting themselves up for future success. And anyone who thinks either that black men are doomed to go to prison or that law enforcement officers are hopelessly racist have not met our sheriff, Edward Goods, who is making a tremendous difference in our county. Yes, regardless of what politicians may say, America has always been a place where people have been able to overcome limitations imposed on them by the accident of their birth. America has always been a place where people from many different cultures and ethnic groups have come together, sharing ideas, developing new folk ways that are better than anything our ancestors had before. Mississippi, of course, is a prime example of this, with our language and our food and especially our music, blending the best that Native Americans, West Africans, French, and British people had to offer. It is a big part of the reason we continue to attract tourists from all over the world is because our years of living together have melded so many of our individual cultural characteristics into one big gumbo, and a tasty one it is. But there is one distinction that remains absolutely essential. There is one classification that continues to have eternal significance. There is one set of true colors that really matters if we display, and that is our relationship to Jesus Christ. In fact, that's the only human designation that matters to God, whether we are in Adam or whether we are in Christ. Now, Paul explains this further in our responsive reading from Romans chapter 5. By virtue of our birth, we all start out as children of Adam. We share in the guilt of his sin. We are condemned because of his trespass. Moreover, because Adam disobeyed God by eating the forbidden fruit, we are all born sinners. And thus, we all eventually participate in the same sort of rebellion against God. Regardless of how our different human cultures or different human personalities channel and express our sinful nature, all who remain in Adam stand under the judgment and curse of God. But, as Paul tells us in Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The good news is that everyone doesn't have to remain in Adam. The good news is that those who are joined to Christ by faith, those who trust him as Savior, those who bow the knee to him as Lord, we are reconciled to God. We are acquitted of our guilt. We are made holy and righteous in the sight of God. And Jesus does this for us in the same way that we received Adam's guilt along with Adam's sinful nature. As Paul explains in Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. In other words, just as we became sinners solely because of the sin of Adam, we are saved solely because of the work of Christ. If our relationship to Adam is what condemns us, our relationship to Christ is what redeems us. So the only thing that matters is which group we belong to, which colors we display. Are we in Adam or are we in Christ? That's all that matters. And that not only means that God really doesn't care about any of the other human categories or distinctions that seem so important to us,
It means that our allegiance to Christ must be our top priority. Our loyalty to Christ must be more important to us than any college team for which we cheer, more important to us than any political party for which we vote, more important to us than any geographic or social or ethnic group to which we belong. In fact, as Jesus makes clear in verse 37, he must be more important to us even than our closest family members. We must love Jesus more than our mothers or fathers, more than our sons or daughters. Now that's hard for us Mississippi folks to hear. That cuts against the grain of our culture. After all, our Celtic and West African ancestors alike were intensely loyal to their extended families. The fights and feuds between African tribes and Scottish clans are equally legendary. To this day, if you want to pick a fight around here, just try insulting someone's mama. Go ahead. And if you can stand back up, I'll carry you to the dentist. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus loved his mama too. One of the last things that he did, even while he was hanging on the cross, was to ask his disciple John to look after Mary as if she were his own mother. But why did Jesus have to do that? Mary had other children of her own. Because to Jesus, faith in him was more important than accident of birth. As we'll see a few chapters on in chapter 12 of Matthew's gospel, when Jesus' family tried to interrupt him on one occasion while he was preaching, he pointed to his disciples who were listening and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." That's what Jesus said. And so, as Jesus points out in today's passage, in verses 34 and 35, sometimes Christians are called to make a radical choice. A choice between loyalty to Christ and loyalty to their families. This still happens today. Some people who come to Christ today are rejected by their families, or disowned, or even physically attacked, just because they decide they want to follow Jesus. Sometimes I have to make a choice. But even if our families are supportive of our Christian walk, as most of our families are here in Mississippi, we still have to be careful. We have to be careful not to allow our family folkways to take precedence over the will of God. We must not allow even our love for our parents, or our siblings, or our children to water down our allegiance to God. Because when we turn to Christ, when we wear his colors, we are adopted into a much larger family, the worldwide family of faith. And the ties that bind our hearts to one another in Christian love are much stronger and much deeper and much longer lasting than any biological relationship can possibly be. So yes, Jesus must be our top priority. More important than cultural distinctions, more important than family distinctions, and he goes on to say, more important than life itself. Look, in verse 38, Jesus calls all who follow him to take up our cross. The cross was not an image of suffering. It was an image of death. The modern equivalent, Jesus would say, take up your electric chair. Jesus is calling us to die. To die not only to our previously sinful, selfish ways, to die not just to the fact that we used to be on Team Adam and now we're on Team Jesus. No, he's calling us to die to ourselves, to die to our own preferences, to die to our own agendas, to die to our own desires. Because isn't that what Jesus did? What did Paul tell us in our responsive reading? Jesus died not for righteous people, but for the ungodly, for sinners like us. And he did this because he loves us. So if we would be on Team Jesus, if we would play out of his playbook, if we would follow his example, if we would live his life, if we would share the good news of his grace, if we would demonstrate his love for the sinful, broken world around us the way he did, well, if we would share the love of Christ, perhaps even for those in our own culture or those in our own town or those in our own families who have not yet come to Christ, well, we have to do what he did. Instead of trying to make life comfortable and happy for ourselves in this fleeting world, we must take up our cross. We must sit down in our electric chair. We must lose our lives, all that we are and all that we have, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel. For it is only then, Jesus says, he who loses his life will find it. True life, eternal life. So how do we do this? How do we really wear the colors of Christ? How do we put aside Adam? How do we put aside our wants and truly express the self-sacrificial, unconditional love of Christ for others? Well, Jesus says, because remember, there are only two distinctions that matter in God's eyes. You're either in Christ or you're in Adam. So Jesus says, where it comes to those in Christ, where it comes to our Christian brothers and sisters, we should receive them. We should honor those who are faithfully following him, even if they don't happen to belong to the same alumni association or the same denomination or the same, frankly, arbitrary racial category that we belong to. We can help Mike and Lori Sally, even though they're not Presbyterians, with their ministry in Uganda. One recent example, very impressive example in Claiborne County, was when folk from every segment of society raised money and came together to help Reverend William Coleman as he recovers from his accident. Black folk and white folk, Baptists, Presbyterians, didn't matter. Folks raised money. They joined together from every segment of society. Hands of Hope built a wheelchair ramp for a good man who had lost a leg. And they were doing what Jesus said. They were honoring, they were receiving a righteous man. That's showing your colors. But look, you don't have to get involved in a big project like that to show your true colors. Jesus says, even a little thing, even giving a cup of cold water to one of his disciples is a way of demonstrating our unity with Christ and with one another, a way of showing that we have left behind the sin and the selfishness of Adam and that we are truly following Jesus. Okay, that's how we show our colors to those on Team Jesus. How do we show our colors to those on Team Adam? How do we demonstrate our loyalty to Christ to those who haven't yet trusted him as Savior or bowed the knee to him as Lord? Jesus tells us how to do that too. In verse 32, Jesus calls all who follow him to confess him before men. Confess him. In other words, we show our true colors by claiming his name, by shining the light of his truth and his love into the darkness around us, no matter what the rebellious, self-focused followers of Adam might think about what we say or the way we live. Now, Jesus warns us, we saw last week,
when we looked earlier in this chapter, Jesus warns us, and Paul reminds us too in Romans chapter 5, that confessing Christ, that being open about our faith, might lead us to persecution, might lead us into pain. But when the unbelieving world rejects us, just as it rejected Christ, Paul says we can rejoice in our sufferings. Because as our character is built in this way, as we endure such hatred because we follow Jesus, we can rejoice. We can rejoice in the greatest hope of all. As Jesus says in verse 22 of this passage, the hope that we will be saved. But we can also rejoice because of the blessings that come to us today from belonging on Team Jesus. The blessings that come to all those who are in Christ. We can rejoice in the love that God has shown to us in the cross of Christ. We can rejoice in the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit God has given to all who trust in Him. So what are your true colors? What are your true colors? This week, will you show those colors to Christians and non-Christians alike? Will you make it clear to everyone that you belong to Jesus, following Him in truth and love, giving yourself away to one another, glorifying God, no matter what it costs? Will we? Let's challenge one another to do that as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 460. Selection 460. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is going to be on Jesus' side? Who is going to be on Adam's side? Will we show our true colors? We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 460. You can also find the words in your online order of service. Let us stand to sing.
Who will lead the world's side?
May we demonstrate to the world that we are on the Lord's side this week, showing our true colors to Christians and non-Christians alike. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.